Harvey was this guy. He came from England as a teenager in the 1850s. He worked briefly in New York City in the restaurant business, loved the restaurant business, came to St. Louis, which was, you know, almost the end of America in the 1860s, and had the opportunity to open his own restaurant in, you know, right in downtown St. Louis, right near the river, and had a partner, got married, had two little kids, and had his entire life taken away from him in his mid-20s by the Civil War. His restaurant was, his partner was a Southern sympathizer. He was not. He was against slavery. He left, took all their money, and the restaurant was closed. Not long after, they moved to St. Joseph, Missouri, where Fred's wife died in childbirth. He was a young man with two little babies, and his wife had just died. And he started over in the transportation business. In Western Missouri at that time, the transportation business was very crossed over between trains, boats, and wagon trains, because basically the Missouri River was the end of America. The train lines didn't go beyond St. Joseph. The Missouri River had not been crossed yet. And so basically, you know, to get beyond that, you either had to go across on a ferry, come on a boat from St. Louis, and then, you know, that was Pony Express time. So when you were in the transportation business at that time, you were in all those businesses. And Fred became very much, you know, in his second life, a creation of the transportation industry. So he sold packet boat tickets and train tickets, and worked for a lot of different railroads and a lot of different packet boat companies, who were all had to work with each other until there was a transcontinental railroad that people could go all the way across the country on, which was still many years away. So he ended up in Leavenworth as a ticket agent for one of the Midwestern railroads, and from there decided that he would become what I refer to as a railroad warrior, where he basically was a freight agent for one of the major railroads, and would also sell ads for the different newspapers in the different towns, and would basically travel, you know, back and forth to the east, all over the south, all over the Midwest, and as far as the trains would go, basically selling each area to the other areas, because he was selling transport for people, transport for goods. And he was this amazing, very aggressive businessman, but always known for being somebody who would never do the wrong thing, an incredibly honorable man in a sort of a dishonorable time. So very aggressive, always pushed to make the best deal possible for everybody, but at the same time, you know, was just considered an honorable man. Was quite a phenomenon in the West. I mean, everybody knew Fred Harvey as a salesman, because basically, you know, the railroads he worked for were the biggest railroads. And in order to be in that business, especially the freight business, you need to know everybody else's business. If you're going to work with cattlemen, you have to understand what they need. If you're going to work with farmers, you need to understand what they need. If you're going to work with small manufacturers, you need to know what they need. And you need to know who's actually coming as passengers. So Fred Harvey understood America in many ways better than Americans did, because he saw what was happening in, you know, what was then the West. I mean, Kansas was the West then. You know, that was the end of America. There was sort of, you know, the America that went to Fort Leavenworth, and then there was California. And Fred watched America attach itself to the West Coast as a freight agent. And he was also quite a local businessman. I mean, in Leavenworth, whenever he made a dollar, he would invest it some other way. So he was writing mortgages for people. He was making loans for people. He was quite the operator. And you know, quite the civic leader in Leavenworth, and just traveled all over the country endlessly for, you know, for almost 15, 20 years. So you think of somebody who's a road warrior today who takes a lot of flights. Imagine what it was like when you had to take a train that went that slow, that didn't have air conditioning, you know. But when you look at his date books and you see how many cities he's in, it's amazing. You know, it's just crazy how much this guy traveled. And one of the things he recognized on the road, because he had a really bad stomach, was that the food and the service on the trains and in the trackside restaurants was horrible. And it was abhorrent. And people talked about it all over the country, but they talked about it like something that could never be fixed because of the nature of the ownership, and that the railroads didn't really care about taking care of passengers that much. And so when he was, you know, leading into his 40s, which at that time was old, he decided that he would get back in the restaurant business, and he would try to figure out a way that all these terrible trackside restaurants could actually be good restaurants, could be as good as the restaurants that he ate at in Chicago and in New York and in St. Louis, which were the cities that he loved, and London. And so he went to initially to the KP. They ran three restaurants together. They didn't get along so well. And then he went to the Santa Fe and said, let me run this myself. He got rid of his partner, and he opened this lunchroom in Topeka, which is where the Santa Fe's offices were in the Midwest. The company was owned in Boston, but the main headquarters, the functional headquarters, was in Topeka. And from there, this little side project of his grew into a pretty big thing. And within 10 years, he had, I don't have the figures on the top of my head, I mean, he had more than a dozen restaurants and hotels, plus a large resort hotel in Las Vegas, New Mexico, called the Montezuma, which is one of the biggest hotels in the country at that time, and decided that he was going to get into this as his main business. But he was getting older, he was not well, and he built a company which is actually quite radical and revolutionary because he delegated in a way that we really admire today but no one had ever heard of back then, because he had to, because he couldn't be everywhere at once. And his health was failing, so he delegated to his executives were the kind of executives that we expect to see in companies today, who are empowered to make their own decisions, and who empower other employees. That was not the way business was done back then. Back then, business was done by people who were very autocratic, who just sort of ordered everybody around. The Fred Harvey Company ran much more like an army, or like a railroad, and so he built up the business from these small trackside restaurants into bigger trackside restaurants and hotels. And there was a depression in America in the 1890s. Basically, every business in America went bankrupt. All the railroads went bankrupt. And in the comeback of the American economy in the middle 1890s, both the Santa Fe Railroad and the Fred Harvey Company was reborn as a much larger operation. And at that time, his son and his right-hand man, a guy called David Benjamin, who had been his bank teller in Leavenworth, were running the company, and Fred was more of a figurehead and traveling to Europe part of the year. And that was the second coming of the company, and really the part of it that people know the best, even though it had been already going on for a long period of time. And Fred Harvey, the last thing Fred Harvey did, which showed what a brilliant businessman he was at the time, he left a will saying that no one could probate his will or even count up his stuff for 10 years. To make sure that nobody screwed with his company and no one hurt the amazing machine that they had built to give this kind of customer service to Santa Fe Railroad passengers. So for 10 years after Fred's death, his will was not probated, his estate was not broken up, the company was run as if he was still alive. And that turned out to be the turning point and one of the great generational handoffs in American business.